AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll level two. This is Sports Rage. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust up and everybody else in between. Throwing it down on a Monday night meltdown. Thanks to Paul Bovey for stepping up and in. The New Orleans Saints stepped up and in and win in overtime, because the New Orleans Saints are a winning organization and the Los Angeles Chargers are a bunch of losers. There's my analysis of the game. Next, Los Angeles Dodgers lose to the Atlanta Braves, and suddenly the pressure is on the Los Angeles Dodgers, although these are not five-game series. At least there's a somewhat of a sense of normalcy, as there was actually fans in the stadium. And I don't know if it was just me, but it appeared as though, and it sounded like there was like a lot of Atlanta Brave fans there, actually. Yeah, you know, it's easier for Brave fans to go to Texas, and you know, the Dodger fans are hardcore, but they're too busy throwing rocks at cops right now celebrating a Lakers championship. They're too busy spreading COVID through the streets of Los Angeles. But that's another story. Congratulations to the Lakers. And, you know, Lakers get it done. LeBron gets it done. It is what it is. Fortunately, we don't have to wait long for the start of the next NBA season. It's around the corner. The Tampa Bay Rays, I'll tell you what. The Tampa Bay Rays, they're a damn good baseball team. That's what I'm going to tell you. Like, they're just so good in a sense that, I don't know, man, the Atlanta Braves or the Los Angeles Dodgers, they're going to have their hands full with this Rays team. The Rays don't make mistakes. They take care of business. They capitalize when you make mistakes. They catch everything. They got great pitching. They get clutch hitting. I don't know. Like, what don't they have? Like, you know, basically, this Rays team, they're smoking hot right now, man. They're going to be a load to deal with. But, hey, the Atlanta Braves are also a smoking hot. 6-0 in the postseason. No panic for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Time for Clayton Kershaw to step up and in, though. Buffalo Bills and the Tennessee Titans are throwing it down because the Tennessee Titans, of course, are cheating scum. And now the Buffalo Bills have to play the Titans and the Chiefs in a span of 5 days. Pittsburgh Steelers' schedule is all out of whack. And what's the punishment for the Tennessee Titans? Pretty much the same punishment that came for the Houston Astro players. Nothing. So you know what? The moral of the story is cheat. Cheat. Steal. Cheat. And do whatever you can to get ahead, kids. Because you know what? Nice guys finish last and end up having to go and play on the road on a Tuesday night in Nashville, Tennessee. That's what happens if you're nice. Go Bills. Circle the wagons. Beat them bastards. Sports Rage Late Night. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Let me get this straight. You took all the money you made franchising your name and bet it against the Harlem Globetrotters?
I thought the Generals were due. He's spinning the ball on his finger. Just take it. Take the ball. That game was fixed. They were using a freaking ladder, for God's sakes.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I'm Morenci, throwing it down here on a Monday night meltdown. Thanks to Paul Bovey for kicking it with us Monday night football. You know what? It was a pretty successful night of picks, actually. You tune in to Game Time Decisions tonight, then you know we gave you the Chargers plus the points. We told you to take a 7-point teaser to the over. That was a winner. I gave you the over in the football game. That was a winner. Over 3.5 sacks was a winner. Long field goal over 46.5 yards was a winner. Keenan Allen to score a touchdown at plus 155 was a winner. That's a lot of wins right there. Where did it go wrong? We had Justin Herbert over 265.5 passing yards, and somehow he ends up at 264. The pain. Look, if they get that first down, we win that bet. It was basically, that's what it came down to. You get the first down, we win the prop bet, and the game continues. You don't. And I can't cry about it being a bad beat because it went to overtime and we still lost. So whatever. It is what it is. You know, he threw the pass behind Hill. I believe it was Hill on the play before. I thought we had it there. But what a choke job. Another choke job by the Chargers. And, oh, yeah, we jumped in on the Chargers in-game money line at plus 175. That was frustrating. But it was a plus unit day when it's all said and done. It can always be better, but we tell you guys, you make $200 a day betting on sports. That means you made $72,000 in the year, which, I don't know, especially in this COVID economy, that's a pretty good job. Win $200 a day every day, that's $72,000 a year. George Kurtz steps up and in. What's going on, Kurtz?
Gabe, does it bother you at all? You mentioned the about Herbert. Not as far as betting, but why, oh why, on a fourth down play, is A, Herbert throwing before the first down marker, and is any receiver not running a pattern beyond the first down marker? This drives me insane because the Cowboys do it so often, including a couple of times this year.
Yeah, it's a Cowboy
that cost
move,
them first downs, cost them games here. Right? It drives me insane. I mean, I understand if they're running back in the flat. Okay, he's not going to get to the first down marker.
I know it's, off the
right,
top of my
that's
head.
That's the guy in the Rams
against
game.
The Rams. And then they did it again in another game. They ran the same play. And it didn't work again. I actually thought in that game, it was 2 weeks ago. I was like, why would you run the same play that didn't work with CeeDee Lamb earlier in the year? Again on a fourth down. Like, it doesn't work, guys. Like, it's too, like, it just shows Kellen Moore and just sort of how thick he is. But, you're right, Kurt. It's like, for the love of God, run to the damn line of scrimmage. They figured, listen, Mike Williams, you know, big dude, you know, you figure he's going to be able to fall forward for it. It is what it is, but you see it all the time. And there's no way the Chargers should have lost that game, George. You know, you got Drew Brees, who was struggling. You got a 17-point lead. You give up the late touchdown. Then you act as if though you got like a 20 or 30-point lead in the second half. You have a 10-point lead with 30 minutes left, and they began to go conservative and nurse it. And they even said, oh, because he nearly threw an interception once, George, on and out. And Greasy even said, oh, you could tell they've gone much more conservative since that near pick. Yeah, he also had 3 touchdown passes at that time. Like, just this mentality of these loser teams, George, that play it safe because they don't want to lose, always lose. Minnesota Vikings, Houston Texans, Chargers, same crap. Like, they're better than a 1-4 football team, George. They should be a 3-2 team right now. But whatever, they play to lose.
Oh, I agree. I think it was you who tweeted that out, that they were playing way too conservative. I mean, leads today in today's game, this time, is not like it was 10 years ago. You had a 14-point lead. You were good. Game was over. We see teams come back from this all the time, 14, 17, 21 points. The game is built to score and score quickly. So, yeah, I thought the Chargers played soft, you know, trying to milk the clock in the third quarter. That's not going to work. I know Breeze looked terrible for a while, but he figured it out. They figured out the Chargers defense. They started the score here. And doesn't it seem like every year now the Chargers lose 2 to 3 games because of their place kicker?
Oh, it's for the last 20, 30 years. I remember going back a long time ago. You probably remember the night. It was Saturday night. I remember I was at a Slipknot concert. And was it Nate Keating that missed against the Jets? Remember they lost to the Jets on a missed field goal in the playoffs years ago?
Yep.
I never forget that. It's just amazing. Concert.
I mean, I don't know what Justin Tucker would cost. They should give Baltimore whatever they want for Tucker. Just give them 3 number ones because this has cost them playoffs. It seems like every season they're losing 2 to 3 games because what did he miss tonight? Bagsley missed an extra point and a 48-yarder or whatever it was. I know 48's long, but in New Orleans, that has to be made.
Was it 48 or 50? The one that hit the upright. I thought it might have been exactly 50, but still, indoors, you're supposed to hit that. I'll double check. Someone in the chat, let us know.
I'm looking for it now.
Not that it really matters. I'm just saying. I thought it was a 50-yarder.
I was guessing on 40. I know it was late 40s, but it's got to be made. It has to be made. I mean, it's indoors, no fans. There's no excuse. Boot the thing.
Yeah, indoors, you got to make a 50-yarder in a dome. And they even said, like, they showed him before. They said, oh, look, in warm-up, he was making him from 58. I don't know if you guys saw that, but from 58, there were, like, curveballs. They were sort of wobbling in. But you got to drill that. I don't know. It's amazing. But, George, it's like in sports, it's always like that, right? You know, like, the Chargers have always had kicking problems. The Jets always have horrible coaches. Philadelphia Flyers have always had goaltending problems. You know what I mean? There's always that. Now they don't with Hart, but... You know what I'm saying? Like they always have. It's amazing how history repeats itself all the time. But the bottom line is the Chargers cover the point spread. 4-1 against the spread now. They're 1-4 straight up, but they covered again. So that's good. We hit the number.
Listen, I guess if you have a Chargers, Herbert's the man, right? So that's good news too. You got your quarterback. He certainly looks like it. Kid's got a rocket for an arm, and he should only get better. So if you look at bright points, you probably weren't thinking you're going very far this year anyway. The most important thing is when you draft the quarterback first round, to make sure he's the man. And Herbert certainly looks like the man. And Anthony Lynn, I don't know what he was smoking that he couldn't see this, that he wanted to go back to Tyrod Taylor. Because I don't think he changed his mind, by the way. I think the organization told him to change his mind.
No. And, you know, it's amazing. When they say, well, he's not ready. Well, he threw 4 touchdown passes. Tyrod Taylor, and I like Tyrod. He ain't throwing 4 touchdown passes for you. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, what are you doing? You trying to go 7-9 with Tyrod Taylor? Like, I don't know how these owners and GMs let the organizations be run this way. I really don't. But, yeah, the Chargers let one get away from them. So, what do you make? We only got a minute or two here before the break. Coming up in a couple of minutes. But what do you make of the Bills-Titans game? We were talking with Paul Bovey earlier. He thinks there's going to be points put up on the board in this game, and he thinks that Tennessee are going to be able to move the ball on the Bills. He doesn't like the Bills' defense. I brought up as a defense of the Bills are giving up 25 points a game. That's 16th out of 32 teams in the NFL. The Tennessee Titans are giving up like 24.7 points a game, 15. So... right there. And the Bills offense is explosive. They're throwing for 331 passing yards a game. Josh Allen's lighting it up. They're scoring 30 points a game. Bills have had like a little extended rest. The Titans haven't practiced, but I was surprised to see the Bills laying 3.5 points in this game. George, who do you like in the game?
I think there's no doubt that Bubba's been a little disappointing on defense. That'll get better. My thing is Tennessee hasn't practiced. They haven't practiced. I don't know how they're going to be able to play tomorrow at 7. It could be a very sloppy game for them. I like Buffalo tomorrow in a big way.
Well, Buffalo in a big way, says George Kurtz. Buffalo in a big way. It really is amazing. You talk about a Bills and a Titans game, that the total is actually 53.5 points. The Bills haven't had an under yet. And like we said, they had 3 overs, and then depending on what your number was in that Raider game, I actually won because it was 53, and I have a good hunch about always buying things down. And it ended up at 53. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
And you know what? It'll be nice having a little extra cash to bet on college football.
Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
Sports Rage late night continues. I'm Morenci. Shout out to our radio affiliates, wherever you are joining us this evening. Sports Grid's George Kurtz kicking it with us right now on the Monday night meltdown. And, of course, we're kicking it on the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. And a crazy story about Tommy Pham, George. Tommy Pham stabbed during altercation, is in good condition following surgery. The incident occurred Sunday night in San Diego. And I was talking with Scotty Farrell about this, and they're saying outside an establishment, evidently it was an adult establishment, George, an adult establishment, as in strip club.
So it wasn't Chuck E. Cheese?
No, no, exactly. Good call. Exactly. I said, you know, you never hear these stories, George, that, you know, all right, you got stabbed outside of a health club. You got stabbed outside of a yogurt shop. You got stabbed outside of Dunkin' Donuts in a parking lot. It's like, no, nah, it's usually in a club or a strip club, right? Like, remember the dude on the Cowboys that shot himself outside? Or was that Pac-Man? Oh, no, was it, who's Pac-Man Jones? Pac-Man Jones shot other people.
Who's Jones, the guy, right?
Akeem Talib.
Pascal Burris did it too.
Yeah, Papa, exactly. That's why I had to remember which one, George, right? Like, well, Plastico, of course, you got to give Plastico credit, another Michigan State Spartan, bro. Who the hell puts a gun in their waistband when they're wearing sweatpants? He's wearing sweatpants.
A sweatsuit.
Yes.
I mean, God. In New York, too. Didn't he go to jail for it, too? Because New York, you're not allowed to carry guns unregistered.
Yeah,
here.
He brought a gun into a
good
club.
Job there. But yeah,
I don't know if you remember.
Fam gets stabbed, guys would buy his
car. At the time, I don't know if you remember at the time, though, Plastico Burris, the NYPD thought that Plastico Burris shot at them, too. In another incident. Like, they basically were convinced. Like, they had their eye on Plastico. I don't know what the hell Burris was up to in New York City, but he sounds like he was that, Takashi kid or something. It sounded like he was driving around the city shooting things. But yeah, he was outside of some incident once, and basically they knew he was there. And he might have fired, but they couldn't prove it. So they were watching him. So then when he shot himself in a club, they loved it. Like, they were all over his ass right away. But it was Akeem Talib. Akeem Talib said he got attacked outside of a strip club. And then the truth was he shot himself in a foot by accident or something. But anyway, so Tommy Pham, yeah. And another thing is, these stories never happen at 10:30 in the morning or, like, you know, one in the afternoon. It's another thing, too. There's a pattern. Clubs and late at night, you don't have to be a professional athlete for things not to end, badly there for you. But we hope Tommy Pham is going to be okay. So speaking of we talked about tomorrow's Buffalo Bill Tennessee Titan game. George Kurtz likes the Buffalo Bills. Before we get into the baseball, your Dallas Cowboys escape yesterday. Giants get the cover. Cowboys get the win. And I don't really get this. I don't see how 2-3 isn't better than 1-3-1. You know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't 2 and 3, shouldn't the win count more than the Eagles tie? Like, I think 2 and 3 should be first place and not 1, 3, and 1.
2 and 3 isn't first place.
It's not a better winning percentage.
Dallas got a 400 winning percentage. The Eagles would only... It's one. Yeah, the Eagles would 1 of 3. They'd be 333. Cowboys would be 2 of 5. It's 400.
The tie actually helps them, George.
Cowboys first place. I mean, yay.
But the tie...
Well, here's the...
Yeah, I know. Right now, so a 2 and 3 winning percentage is 400. Philadelphia at 300, but it's crazy. Like down the road, like that tie might come into play for them, which I always just find is stupid, right? Like, because it's not a loss.
Well, yeah, it means they won't have to worry about separating. It'll be easy to separate the division, right? You don't have to worry about tiebreakers. That's really all that does. And they were lucky to get the tie. You know, I hate stupid. The.
Why do they only play 10 minutes? Why do they only play 10 minutes? Just play until someone wins.
Because the players bitched about it. The players bitched about it. They didn't want to play because they're afraid, we play an extra quarter, we might get more injuries. You know, that sort of thing. That's why they only played the 15, because, once again, more injuries. They don't want to play forever. I think it's kind of silly. I don't like ties. I didn't like them in hockey all those years. Liked it when they finally got rid of it. I mean, I love the shootout, but I'd rather see a shootout than a tie. In football, it's all about the injuries. The players complained. That's what it was. That extra 5 minutes, more injuries, we're getting tired, then we might have to play a Thursday night game, and it's just not fair, blah, 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 blah. So they shortened
the ball all the time.
This is why we're seeing more ties, because this is why we're seeing more, right? Because 10 minutes, you're pretty much getting a possession for each team, unless the first team scores a touchdown, right? That's it. You're not going to have a third possession. When you had that 15 minutes, that whole quarter, you'd had that third possession, less ties. We're seeing more ties now.
Let's go. You're right. We really are. Like, ties used to be really, really rare. Now they're still kind of rare. We've had one already, but they're more possible. You see, because the quarter, the 10 minutes goes by fast. You know, I don't know how you feel about the college overtime rule, in which they just give the ball on the 25-yard line to each team. But the problem is, the other night, Texas and Oklahoma played, George. They scored 8 times, bro. It went to, like, 8 overtime. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they just kept scoring and scoring and scoring and scoring and scoring and scoring and scoring. And it was like, holy crap, man. It was crazy because the game was staying under the number, and then suddenly, next thing you know, it was like, wow, this game went way over the number. So, yeah, so Dallas in first place at 2 and 3 with a win percentage of 400 right now. But as I stated, the tie is going to, you know, like I said, it's a weird thing with the standings. And it actually, I think it's going to help Philadelphia somehow. Like, down the road, you're going to see the tie. It's better than the loss. We'll just put it that way. But anyway, so Dallas, you guys lose your quarterback. But you get Andy Dalton coming in right now. I don't know if you're going to change the playbook, right? Are they going to change what they do? But I would imagine, they would. Like, Dak Prescott's better than Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's a good backup, but he is better than Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's good, but he's also, turnover prone, as you know, right? Like, he's turnover prone. So if you throw the ball as much with him, there's going to be problems, as you did with Dak. So I would expect that it's going to be, you know, Zeke Elliott will probably start getting the football a little bit more once again. And, of course, just, works out this way that the Dallas Cowboys happen to be the Monday Night Football game next week, I believe.
They are. They're playing Arizona and Dallas next Monday night. Now, you're right. I completely agree with you. Even though Kellen Moore and McCarthy both said today the playbook won't change, even if Dak was healthy, it probably had to change because you need to protect this defense. You just have to protect this defense. They might get a little healthier on D. Leighton Van Der Esch might play Monday. If not, he will play against Washington the week after. Sean Lee is also close to returning. So it's getting a little healthier. But this defense needs to be kept off the field as much as possible. And how do you do that? You run with Zeke. The problem is, and I know you know this, Gabe, Cowboys are down 3 offensive linemen. Those guys ain't coming back. All right, Tyron Smith not coming back. Frederick retired. Looney, he will be back in about a month or so. And Collins isn't coming back either. They're playing 3 rookies. Now, they've done well against the Giant team. Sure, Giants don't have a defensive line. What about teams that have a better offensive line, which maybe Arizona doesn't have? Chandler Jones might be out for the season with the torn biceps. We're waiting to hear confirmation there. But when they play Washington in 2 weeks, that defensive line might eat the offensive line. And Walton, you know, he completed those 2 big passes to Gallup yesterday, but they were lollipops. I mean, you saw both catches. I mean, Gallup went up and made the plays. You know, he made the plays. Better defense, he'll knock those down. And also, Dalton doesn't move as like Dak does. If that pressure's getting to him, he's going to get hit more often. Dak was turning over the ball a bunch anyway. Yep. I think you'll continue to see that with Dalton.
I'll tell you, though, you look at the Arizona Cardinals and what they do on defense. They give up 124.5 yards a game on the ground, which is 19th in the National Football League. And they're a little bit better against the pass, 257 yards a game, which is 15th. And, you know, that's not bad in the modern NFL, 257. But you can run the football, giving up 124 yards a game. As I stated, Zeke Elliott hasn't been somebody. We've been riding the Dak Prescott passing yard props to the bank, so far this year. And I do them in-game. I wait for the game to start. I'm glad I didn't pull the trigger on Dak before the game yesterday with this. But I think that Zeke Elliott props are going to be in order this week. I'm going to be taking a look at his rushing yard prop because, as you stated, they've got to protect this defense. It's, you know, you really want to get into a track meet with Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins and these guys. Even with you running the ball, they're still going to score anyways, George, right? So, like, I wouldn't want to entice it and get into a shootout with Cliff Kingsbury and these guys.
No, but I think until the defense gets better, I think what's going to happen, when Dallas runs the ball, then you're also going to put in, somebody's going to stop that run. You're going to put in, I don't know. I just don't know if they're going to be able to do it with Dalton. Is he going to be the same guy as Dak? I think Dallas they're going to have some second and 12s. I think Dalton's going to get sacked. That offense is not going to be the same.
Let's not get carried away. Dalton's going to be just fine. Dalton's going to throw
for that offense, he was.
No, the thing is, like you said, he's not mobile.
I don't think
so. You know what I mean? That's the thing. I think Dalton will be fine. But Dalton, you know Dalton. Everyone knows Andy Dalton. Dalton's going to throw for 284 yards, two touchdowns. And you're going to have to pray, Kurtz, that, like, he doesn't fumble with 2 minutes left in a close game, or he doesn't, like, something will happen. Like I said, Andy, you know, I've raged about Andy Dalton a lot over the years. I think the best way of putting Andy Dalton, he's a nice kid, but I imagine when Andy Dalton was a kid, you know, like when, you know, your parents trust you to go get milk or whatever for the first time and you go to the store. So, I always picture Dalton that they went and he got the milk. He got like a big bottle of milk and he got back. He's, you know, stepping his right as he gets back home. He drops it on his driveway and it smashes and spills everywhere on his driveway. And he's got to go back to the store. Like, that's Andy Dalton's career. You know what I mean? Like, he's like Matt Ryan. He's like all these loser quarterback guys. They're just going to sort of go down the field, look good. But as soon as they have to make a play on third or fourth down, they won't. Something will go wrong. You feel bad for them, but it is what it is. More coats on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morency. Rage all you want.
I'm a rageaholic. I just can't live without rageahol.
Sports Rage late night continues. I'm Morency. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates. George Kurtz kicking it with us. Sports Grid's very own. Get on the grid. You can follow us at sportsgrid.com and check out the YouTube page. You can follow me on Twitter, though, at Sports Rage. Rage. And, you know, I got a little rage after tonight, considering, you know, we lose that Justin Herbert prop in the fashion that we did. But it comes with the territory. We also lost the Keenan Allen prop, George, over 6.5 receptions. You know, good start to the game for him. He had two quick catches, including a touchdown. I hit the touchdown prop with him, but he gets hurt, and that's part of betting props. You got to accept it, man. You know, it is what it is. You know, it's funny because I did very well. I do well with basketball props, but unfortunately, the NBA season's over. And one good thing about basketball props, Kurtz, is players don't get hurt nearly as often as they do in the NFL. I've got bad luck with this. I had a Drew Lock passing yard prop in a game that he got hurt against Pittsburgh. I had George Kittle over 69 and a half yards in a game that he got hurt. He had 44 after like three catches in the first quarter. He was going to sail over. He got hurt. I had Keenan Allen got hurt. Dalvin Cook got hurt. And I know you and Cam got burnt by Dalvin Cook getting hurt. That's what happens, man. These football props, it's volatile. It's what you got to bet the number, which is hard enough to beat, win the bet. Then you got to just pray the guy doesn't get hurt in the game.
You know, it doesn't bother me much if a guy gets hurt early, or I never had a chance. With Dalvin Cook, I need one more touch, Cam and I, one more, maybe two more touches at most, and we win. You know, listen, I didn't bet Keenan Allen tonight. I said last night if Marshawn Lattimore was going to play, I wasn't going to touch him. But I did bet Trayvon Smith. That didn't go well. I mean, what's worse, a guy gets hurt or a guy plays the entire game, but he's on part of the game plan? Traquan, so wasn't all that thrilled about that.
All right, we're starting to.
Michael Thomas returns. I assume he returns, that he'll be taking off suspension.
I've been starting to cut out, Kurtz.
All his rushing props, his receiving props, and the total yards, because I think that's their only offense there. So that's all.
All right, if we can reconnect with George Kurtz. We nearly got through it. Like, we just, you know, we nearly got through it. Today's just one of these days, but I don't know. Like, Kurtz comes on every week, and every week there's something else. Like, he'll either sound like he's in a submarine, something's cutting out, he won't know what it is, I don't know what happened. At first, I thought it was just like some weird glitch at first or something, but now I see that, no, it's real. I like how he's cutting out. He just keeps talking. I'm like, hey, yeah, bro. All right, bro. It would have been nice if someone else jumped in quicker than me. But nevertheless, even flow. Man, it's only Monday, too. Like I said, it's a damn good thing I'm on the air as much as I am. Otherwise, my liver would be so done. I'd be such like the drunk.
He's back.
Or I don't know. I don't know. Maybe this job just makes you want to drink too, right? I don't know. I have to comp that. That's like a deep philosophical question right there. All right, we've reconnected with Kurtz. So are you all right now, Kurtz? Sounded like you were cutting in and out there, Kurtz.
That's because, you know, you bring up Dalvin Cook, you cost me money here. It's been a bad weekend for me, Gabe. I mean, the Yankees got eliminated. I lose Dak Prescott. I wasn't thrilled about the Islander trade today. I mean, it's just been a bad 3 days.
Like, George Kurtz is in Long Island, too, so we got like an 80-second delay here. But we appreciate Kurtz joining us in the late night hours. Always an adventure, Kurtz, with you electronically, buddy. I gotta say, though, like, it's always – the mic has sounded pretty good tonight, but we couldn't get through. Then it started – like, I don't know, something sounded like your power was dying or like you were fading, you were cutting in and out. But, all right, we got Kurtz back.
Your power actually went out last night.
I don't know.
Right during the show, right during in-game live, about on the game-winning drive by Seattle, just went out, done. I didn't get to see the Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf throw. Cam had to tell me. I mean, literally, I'm in my den here, and the whole thing's been dark. It's like, oh, that's great. You know, it's like it came back on right away, but then the internet takes about a minute before the modem boots up, so it could be worse. I don't live in a bomb shelter.
I don't know. It sounds like it sometimes. Just wondering. Yeah, do you have like a bunker? Does it occur to you have a bunker ready for the end of the world?
Not as far as I know. There's not even a basement here. I don't even have a basement. I have an attic, but no basement. So I'm on the main floor. I am. I'm not in Guam.
All right, George Kurtz. All right, now so we've gone about 30 seconds without any issues here. So that's all good. All right, I know everyone is. I want to get to the baseball, but I know everybody is dying to talk NHL hockey right now. And it's crazy, too, because I see Twitter. Twitter actually is talking a lot of NHL hockey. I'm like, oh, dear God, like, really? But, yeah, listen, the NHL is like the NBA. The offseason isn't very long, which I find very cool, actually. It's great stuff. You know, normally when a team wins a championship and, you know, you don't like it or whatever, you got to wait. All right, we got to wait 4, 5, 6 months or whatever for the start of a new season. You don't now, and we know. The NHL is going to be starting January 1st, so it is around the corner. But big move. The Las Vegas Golden Knights remain aggressive like they are every offseason. I don't know if they bring in the right guys. Last year it was Patrietti. And now it's Petrangelo. They love these Italian names, evidently, huh? In Vegas. So, but Nate Schmidt, they have to move Nate Schmidt because suddenly Vegas had cap issues. So they signed, they get Petrangelo, but they move Nate Schmidt to the Vancouver Canucks. And Canuck fans are upset about how the Canucks are handling their salary cap issues and their decisions. What do you make of the moves, George?
Well, you know, I mean, you mentioned Pietrangelo is a great defenseman. All right, he's really, really good. So it's a plus, but it's not as big a plus as it could have been because you had to trade Schmidt, who's a pretty good defenseman in his own right. He's not Pietrangelo, but he's a good, solid defenseman here. So if I was Vegas, I think I'd have been concentrating more on a center. You know, you're up the middle. You have William Karlsson, and that's really it. You know, Cody Glass, Chandler Stephenson, the young player, maybe he'll turn into something, but that's where I think their worry was. I don't think defense was their big worry. Even without Pietrangelo, Schmidt, Theodore, Martinez, McNabb, they were fine. Not great, but fine. You know, I think they could have survived there. So I worry more about Vegas up the middle.
And now the word is, too, they're looking, it's over for Marc-Andre Fleury there. His agent tweeting out that, you know, the sword through his back or whatever, that wasn't good. That wasn't good in the playoffs. It's too bad it ends like this for him there, but they re-signed Robin Leonard to a long-term deal. Word is they're looking to move Marc-Andre Fleury right now. Marc-Andre Fleury makes $7 million, though, Kurt said. Is Marc-Andre Fleury still a number one goalie? I don't know. I don't know.
Fleury's not going anywhere.
I don't know how many teams. I don't know how many teams are going to be lining up to give him $7 million. Like, the only way is if, like, there were a million goalie injuries next year and some team was screwed, maybe they'd pull a trigger on a trade, but nobody wants to pay Marc-Andre Fleury that much money. That's a lot of money, man, in a salary cap league like the NHL.
Vegas was willing to give him away right now. They would have, you take his salary, we'll give you a third-round pick with it. That's what they offered people. No one bit. No one wanted that. Now, they're going to have to keep Fleury. Anyway, the owner came out today and said, hey, we're going to keep the roster season start. Now we're hearing that Leonard is having shoulder surgery. Now, it's not major shoulder surgery. It's not Tarasenko's surgery. It's going to keep him out 6 months. They think he'll be ready before whenever next season starts, but they're not sure. So you have to keep Fleury around anyway until Leonard comes back healthy. But I think you're right. If another team gets desperate, you know, it's like Tampa Bay, they lose Vasilevsky for the year, sure, they might call a team like that. Other than that, I think it's going to be very tough to move him. If you couldn't give him away right now, I don't see it being much easier during the season.
Things change, you know, markets change. It was crazy. A lot of crazy stuff, though, happened in the NHL. I mean, there's bigger things going on now. You know, there's the NBA Finals, you know, football and everything. But, you know, Henrik Lundqvist now a Washington Capital. That's going to be a strange sight, especially like him being in the same division as him going back to MSG in a Capitals jersey and uniform. That's going to be crazy. All right, Kurt, so before we get you out of here, the Atlanta Braves take game one. Close baseball game, but they get to the Dodgers bullpen late. Tonight in this Braves team, you know, they're not intimidated by the Dodgers. They've got a potent offense. They've got good pitching. You know, over a seven-game series, we'll see if the depth of the pitching can keep up. But you know what? That's one down. They only need to win three of the six games right now. So they're sending a kid to the hill tomorrow in Anderson. Clayton Kershaw going for the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers are -170 favorites in this baseball game. 6 o'clock Eastern time, a little after six, first pitch. It's earlier. It's the early game. What's your take on this game, George?
Man, there's a heap of pressure on Kershaw tomorrow, isn't there? I know he's pitched better of late in the playoffs.
For game two, yes.
But it's the kid versus the future Hall of Famer. You know, there's a lot of pressure. You don't want to go down 2-0, and Ian Anderson has been lights out so far. So not only on Kershaw, the entire Dodger team has pressure. So I think it's going to be an interesting game. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. You know, I expect this to be another, you know, similar tonight, 6-7 runs maybe. I thought, you know, Roberts maybe made a mistake tonight. It didn't hurt him when he did it. But by taking Gratterall out after only six pitches and not letting him go another inning, that forced training in there. You know, you had to go him a little earlier. Maybe you wouldn't have had to go there at all if you wouldn't have done that. So I thought that was interesting. Why take out Gratterall after six pitches? The guy's very good. You know what? Because he's young, too, and he's maybe too emotional, too pumped up. I thought that was a mistake that might have contributed to the loss. And listen, in the end, you scored one run. You're not going to win scoring one run in most games here. I think a lot of pressure on my Dodgers tomorrow. I mean, I think what you said earlier is so true. the longer this series goes, the more the advantage goes to the Dodgers, because their pitching overall from 1 to 14, however many pitches they took, is better. But their first top two starters for the Braves, I mean, Fried is good. Anderson's been so good. I sort of lean Braves tomorrow.
You're getting a nice price with the Braves. Ian Anderson on the hill, the kid, the phenom for the Braves. And, of course, Ian Anderson, I was thinking, isn't that the name of the singer of Jethro Tull? Sitting on a park bench. Yes, it is. That is the name of the singer of Jethro Tull. So, it is, Ian Anderson goes. You're getting the Braves at plus 148. Total of 7.5 in that baseball game. And right now, the Tampa Bay Rays have a 2-0 series lead. The Rays just play such great baseball, don't they? As far as, you know, the defense, the timely hitting, the small ball, advancing runners, you know, double plays, you know, what a catch by Margot, like over the wall today, just crazy stuff. You know, they just play the game the right way. And, they, you know, Houston have had really bad luck, though, in this series. You know, a ground rule double today would have been different. It went over the short part of the fence. That would have been two runs. They smoked like six baseballs right at people. Tampa are catching everything. Houston have had bad luck, but it is what it is. And it'll be interesting to see if frustration catches up to them. So it's Yarbrough versus Urquidy here tomorrow. What's your take on this one?
Oh, it's a must win for Houston. They lose, and you can turn out the lights. The party's over here. I mean, you mentioned it. I think it was Alex Bregman today. 95 balls that hit at 98 miles exit velocity or better. He went 0 for 5. I mean, listen, some of that's on the Rays. They positioned themselves well. They did their homework. They put the batters, the fielders, where the batter's going to hit the ball. Tomorrow's an interesting game. Urquidy, all right, good solid pitcher. Yarbrough, how long is he going to go? 4, 5, 6 innings. They did use Fairbanks tonight. They did use Anderson tonight. Can they go back-to-back? I don't know if they can go back-to-back to pitch tomorrow as well. You know, or if Cash will say, you know, we're going to save them going, being up 2-1.
Who you got, Kurtz?
We got Glasnow going game 4. Give me Houston. Houston makes it 2-1.
All right, Houston. Minus 102. George Kurtz, thank you. Sports Radio, play back in here. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Quickest 120 minutes in sports. 3-minute warning winding it down as we throw it down on the Monday night meltdown. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Thanks to George Kurtz for kicking it with us on the show tonight, as well as Paul Bovey. Check out Paul Bovey over at covers.com. Covers experts, to be exact, but you know what I'm talking about. And George Kurtz, right here on the grid from the Yellow Submarine in Long Island. Always something. God bless Kurtz. Hey, listen, the guy joins us in the middle of the night. We got to appreciate his time. But it really is amazing to me. Like, it's just sort of like you never know what you never know what's going to happen. Good stuff with Kurtz, though. Buffalo Bills and the Tennessee Titans. We got Tuesday night football, and you guys better enjoy it because there's no Thursday night football. It's going to be really annoying on Thursday night, trust me. People, like I said, the average person doesn't realize this yet. On Thursday night, do you know how many people are going to be at home on Thursday night just clicking and clicking and clicking and clicking and clicking and clicking and clicking? They're going to be like, where the hell is this game? They're going to be like, I could have sworn this game was on Fox or the NFL Network. It's like, I don't know, maybe it's on on Thursday night. For the record, tomorrow night it's on CBS. 7 o'clock Eastern time, CBS. Just looking at Josh Allen. Josh Allen's had a spectacular year so far this year. MVP caliber. You know, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, both playing elite football, but so is Josh Allen to the tune. He's got a quarterback rating of 122.7. He's thrown for 1,326 yards, 12 touchdown passes, just one interception on the year. And his quarterback, his The touchdown prop for tomorrow night, 2.5, over under 2.5 touchdown passes for Josh Allen. Plus 150 if you like the over. Plus 150 if you like the over. He's thrown two times this year. He threw four touchdown passes. He threw two touchdown passes in week one, and he threw four against the Dolphins, four against the Rams, and then he threw two last week against the Raiders. We're going to break this game down in its entirety, 6 o'clock Eastern on Game Time Decisions on these same radio stations. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.